Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Shamane Tamane Namaste Saraswati Bhakti Guru Gari Vijayane Namaste Sri Vali Prasthati Vishatara Om Yavata Mananda Saraswati Sumaratan Janatas Vaj Sri Murve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Vena Bhutale Sayam Pratidami Mayam Dadati Sabhavanti Kam The demigods, or rather the earth, Mother Bhumi, has approached Lord Brahma for the alleviation of the distress she is experiencing due to the overburden of military forces upon the earth. Together they go, demigods, to Satadip to pray at peace Lord Vishnu, to beg him to come to India. So Lord Vishnu heard the prayers of Lord Brahma, and he answered Lord Brahma in meditation, and Lord Brahma's meditation, saying that he would incarnate, and all the demigods should also incarnate and take their birth on earth to assist him in his pastimes. So then we heard how Devaki and Vasudev had just been married, and Kamsa was driving the chariot of Devaki and Vasudev to, just after the marriage, Kamsa was cousin brother of Devaki. And out of his affection for Devaki, he was actually personally, he was the prince, he was driving the chariot, driving to Devaki to Vasudev's home. And suddenly there was a voice in the sky. The demigods actually wished to hurry up, speed up the incarnation of Krishna. So they said, they told Kamsa through this unembodied voice that you are so foolish. You're assisting this marriage, but the eighth child will kill you. Kill you. So Kamsa, who had been so affectionate, amazing as it was, he immediately pulled out his sword. He was ready to kill Devaki. But Vasudev tried to appease Kamsa philosophically first, saying, you're so famous, you're the pride of your dynasty, what will happen to your reputation? And what will happen to you? You'll be killing your own sister, who's a woman. Sister, woman on the occasion of a marriage. What will happen to your fame, your reputation? And you'll have to suffer so much for this inglorious act in your next life, because the soul will transmigrate, it will change from to a next body. And you will have to suffer there. Kamsa was unmoved by these arguments. There's actually one, he called them the best of the Bodhi dynasty. There's one little comment in it. We'll be reading this, a few comments from an appendix at the end of this chapter. One comment in that appendix that's relevant. But Vasudev knew that he could not by force rescue Devaki from the imminent danger, because Kamsa was so much more powerful than him. Devaki was actually the daughter of Kamsa's uncle, and therefore she is described as Sudit, meaning relative. It is stated that Kamsa refrained from killing his close relation, Devaki, because if he had killed her, a great fight would have ensued amongst the other members of the family. Kamsa refrained from provoking this great danger of a family fight, for it would have caused many persons in his family to lose their lives. He was a killer, but when it came to his own family, he had some softness. But really, Vasudev, I'm convinced, Kamsa to spare Devaki, saying that you have no fear from Devaki, actually. It is her children that you fear. So I'll deliver those children to you one by one, and you can do with them as you wish. If you wish to kill them, you can kill them. So Kamsa, being so noble-hearted, agreed. He was actually a Rakshasa, practically speaking, a demon. So, after Devaki was spared, Vasudeva was thinking, let me save my daughter and my wife now, and later on, who knows what will happen. Maybe Kamsa will die, who knows what will happen. Maybe my child will kill Kamsa. That's what's been prophesied. So at least he was satisfied for the moment he was safe. So every year after that, Devaki and Vasudev gave birth to one child after another. Then, each time Vasudev brought the child to Kamsa, and Kamsa, he did that very nobly and very dutifully, because he was a man who kept his word. So when Kamsa saw that Vasudev was being so truthful, that he was even delivering his child, because naturally the father feels so much the protector and the mother feels so much the protector of their newborn baby, but yet Vasudev was so fixed in truthfulness that he was delivering this child to Kamsa to kill if he wanted to. So Kamsa was so impressed by the character of Vasudev, he thought there was no need to kill this child. After all, it was the eighth child that the voice had said was going to kill me. So he said, you can take back your child and go home. I do not fear this child. So Vasudev agreed, this is text 61, and he took his child back home. But he knew, because Kamsa had no character and no self-control, he knew that he could rely He could not rely on Kamsa's word. Kamsa had already shown that he was capable of doing horrible things after being affectionate 1 minute before. He was about to kill Devaki. So Vasudev accepted the child back, but he knew he couldn't trust Kamsa's words. This is text 62, 63. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, and including his associate cowherd men and their wives, were none but denizens of the heavenly planets, O Maharaj Prickett, best of the descendants of Bharat. And so too were the descendants of the Vrishni dynasty, headed by Vasudev and Devaki, and the other women of the dynasty of Yadu, because through Brahma, Lord Kiridakshaya Vishnu had said, ordered, requested the demigods to take their birth in these families, because they, it is like great personalities playing parts in a drama. And this was such a wonderful drama, because Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was going to appear, and they were all devotees. So they were very eager to participate. So everyone, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yasoda, Devaki, Vasudev, all the members, the friends and relatives of both Nanda Maharaj and the men and women of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna's relatives, and Vasudev, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, and even those who externally appeared to be followers of Kamsa, they were all demigods. They were all participants in this lila. Here's Prabhupada's purport. As previously discussed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, informed Lord Brahma that Lord Krishna would personally descend to mitigate the sufferings on the earth. Mitigate means to stop, to end. The Lord had ordered all the denizens of the heavenly planets to take birth in different families of the Jadu and Vishnu dynasties and in Vrindavan. Now this verse informs us that all the family and friends of the Yadu dynasty, the Vrishni dynasty, Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas descended from the heavenly planets to see the pastimes of the Lord. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.8, the Lord's pastimes consist of Prichanaya Sadunam Vinasaya Sadaskritam, saving the devotees and killing the demons. To demonstrate these activities, the Lord called for devotees from different parts of the universe. Also from the spiritual world, from Goloka Vrindavan, there were different categories of participants in Krishna's Leela. So also Nitya Siddha, residents of the spiritual world, eternal servants of Krishna, also descended to the earth, to Vrindavan and Mathura, Dwarka, to participate. And also there were those who had performed sadhana, through their practices. There were great devotees that needed further training, so they also adventured themselves in the place where Krishna was taking birth in the universe, and also demigods. So these different categories of participants were present. There are many devotees who are elevated to the higher planetary systems, Prabhupada says. So, do we want to become that kind of a devotee that takes his birth in the heavenly planets, can enjoy so many things there? Oh, such an enjoyment, and still be a devotee. Papya punya kritam lokan usitva shashvati sama sijinam shimatam gehe yoga brashta vijayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy, from Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter. Some devotees, having failed to complete the process of devotional service, what does it mean, having failed to complete the process of devotional service? What does that mean? Huh? What does unalloyed mean? So that no selfishness, but also to go back to Godhead, one needs more than that too. One needs to be free from all material impurities, but also to go to Vrindavan, one needs very intense, a special flavor of love for Krishna, possessing mamata, or affection, nearness and dearness, possessiveness almost about Krishna. Yet unalloyed means having no more material desires. So these demigods perhaps had some material desires, and therefore their process of devotional service was not yet complete, and they took their birth in higher planets. Some devotees are promoted to the heavenly planets, to which the pious are elevated, and after enjoying there, they may directly be promoted to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. When Lord Krishna was to appear, the denizens of the heavenly planets were invited to see the pastimes of the Lord. And thus it is stated here that the members of the Jadu and Vrishni dynasties and the inhabitants of Vrindavan were demigods, or almost as good as demigods. Even those who are externally who externally help the activities of Kamsa belong to the higher planetary systems, because they were dealing with Krishna. It is not ordinary. No ordinary persons can deal with Krishna. So these were exalted personalities who had that part in the drama to play. Like even Akura, he's the most obvious and simplest example. He was on a mission from Kamsa to bring Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura to kill him. So he acted as Kamsa's servant. And Akura went, so amazingly enough, to bring Krishna back to Mathura so he could be killed. But actually, of course, Akura wanted to see Krishna, and also it was so that Krishna would kill Kamsa. The imprisonment and release of Vasudeva and the killing of various demons were all manifestations of the pastimes of the Lord. And because the devotees would be pleased to see these activities personally, they were all invited to take birth as friends and relatives of those these families. As confirmed in the prayers of Kunti, Bhagavatam 1.8.19, Nato Natya Daro Yata, the Lord was to play the part of a demon killer and a friend, son, and brother to his devotees. And thus these devotees were all summoned. They all came to participate in this wonderful pastime, the wonderful pastimes that Krishna was going to display on earth. So many wonderful pastimes to associate with Krishna in these pastimes is the most wonderful thing. Now the plot will thicken. Once the great, so all the demigods had already taken their birth to participate in the pastime, so the stage is being set for Krishna himself to take his birth. So Narada Muni wanted to hurry it up. So this is what he did. Once the great saint Narada approached Kamsa and informed him of how the demoniac persons who were a great burden on the earth were going to be killed. Thus Kamsa was placed into great fear and doubt. Why? Because he was one of those demoniac persons. Now, in the appendix at the end of this chapter, there's an explanation from the Harivamsa of this. This is what it explains. This is on page 114 of the book I have. The great saint Narada descended from the heavenly planets to the forest of Mathura and sent his messenger to Kamsa. This is from the Harivamsa, Vishnupura. When the messenger approached Kamsa and informed him of Narada's arrival, Kamsa, the leader of the Asuras, was very happy and immediately came out of his palace to receive Narada, who was as bright as the sun, as powerful as fire, and free from all tinges of sinful activities. Kamsa accepted Narada as his guest, and he offered him respectful obeisances and gave him a golden seat, brilliant like the sun. Isn't it amazing how this person, Kamsa, was continuously trying to kill Krishna, and here he was treating Krishna's dear servant Narada, Surishi, the rishi, the sage amongst the demigods, who was treating him so respectfully and affectionately. Kamsa accepted Narada as his guest. He offered him respectful obeisances and gave him a golden seat, which was brilliant like the sun. Narada was a friend of the King of Heaven. Who is that? Who is the King of Heaven?
Indra.
Yes. And thus he told Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, "My dear hero, you have satisfied me with a proper reception, and therefore I shall tell you something secret and confidential. While I was coming here from Nandakanana through the Chitraratta forest, I saw a great meeting of the demigods who followed me to Sumeru Parvat. We traveled through many holy places, and finally we saw the holy Ganges. While Lord Brahma was consulting the other demigods at the top of Sumeru Hill, I was also present with my stringed instrument, the Veena. I shall tell you confidentially that the meeting was held just to plan to kill the Asuras headed by you. You have a younger sister named Devaki, and it is a fact that her eighth son will kill you. So here he says son. Narada Muni says specifically son. That was from the Hari. Vamsasa Prabhupada continues with this appendix saying, no one can blame Naradaji for encouraging Kamsa to kill the sons of Devaki. The saint Narada is always a well-wisher for human society, and he wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna to descend to this world as soon as possible so that the society of demigods would be pleased and would see Kamsa and his friends killed by Krishna. Kamsa would also attain salvation from his nefarious activities, and this too would very much please the demigods and their followers. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that Narada Muni sometimes did things that were beneficial to the demigods and the demons simultaneously at the same time. So this would benefit the demigods because Krishna would come and kill the demons, and Krishna's appearance would benefit the demons because Krishna would kill them. And when Krishna kills the demons, they are liberated. This doesn't happen even when Vishnu kills demons. When Krishna kills the demons, they're liberated. So merciful to both, though apparently it appears like favoritism. But no. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that Narada Muni sometimes did things like this. Srila Bhargavacharya, in his commentary, has included the following half verse in this regard. Asura sarva itya lokapadrava karinaha. Asuras are always disturbing elements for human society. So Narada approached Kamsa and told him that the demigods were planning, and Lord Vishnu was going to take his birth, to kill all the Asuras headed by you. Kamsa was fearful and doubtful. And after the departure of the great saint Narada, Kamsa thought that all the members of the Yadu dynasty were demigods, and that any of the children born from the womb of Devaki might be Vishnu. Fearing his death, Kamsa arrested Vasudeva and Devaki. So before he was so pleased with Vasudeva because of his truthfulness, but now, because he felt threatened again, he immediately arrested him and chained them with iron shackles, suspecting each of the children to be Vishnu. Kamsa killed them one after another because of the prophecy that Vishnu would kill him. Purport. We'll read the first paragraph. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his notes on this verse, has mentioned Narada Muni gave Kamsa this information. This incident is described in the Harivamsa. Narada Muni went to see Kamsa by providence, and Kamsa received him very well. Narada therefore informed him that any one of the sons of Devaki might be Vishnu. Because Vishnu was to kill him, Kamsa should not spare any of Devaki's children. Narada Muni advised. Narada's intention was that Kamsa, very interesting, another angle on things. Narada's intention was that Kamsa, by killing the children, would increase his sinful activities so that Krishna would soon appear to kill him. Upon receiving the instructions of Narada Muni, Kamsa killed all the children of Devaki one after another. So he actually did it. Kings greedy, this is text 67, for sense gratification on this earth almost always kill their enemies indiscriminately. I saw one book once that Tamal Pishra Maharaj had about Mao Tse-tung, powerful dictator in China, who I think he died in, I can't remember what year, 74, 73, something like that. And in his last years, he was so fearful. He was so fearful that everyone close to him he would kill. Everyone he would kill. Any enemy, any friend. And there's a famous story also, I can't remember where I heard it, not about Mao Tse-tung, about Stalin. After they had defeated the Germans, Stalin had met with Churchill, and they were having a party, and they were drinking, and they were intoxicated, and they were celebrating the defeat of the Germans. And Churchill was speaking so many things very loosely because he was intoxicated. Have you heard this story? Well, so the next morning, but of course, neither Churchill didn't speak Russian and Stalin didn't speak English, so they had a translator there too, so they could talk to each other. So the next morning, Churchill woke up feeling very bad, and he went to see Stalin and told him, last night while I was drinking, maybe I said some things that really should have been secret, and that shouldn't, perhaps because I was drinking, I said things that shouldn't have been said, things that would be secret. And Stalin said, don't worry about a thing. I already had the translator killed. Don't worry. So in this way, the demonic kings don't quite look at their subjects. Did you ever hear that story, Nittai? It was a good one. It's a true story. So this is what they do. Anyone who is my enemy, this is what the Bhagavad Gita describes, the demonic nature. Anyone who is against me or somehow causes me some fear, he is my enemy, I shall kill him. So many I have already killed, I will kill more. I'm perfect, Balavan Sukhi, powerful, happy. It's the demonic nature. What to speak of kings who have the power to do so. To satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even their mothers, fathers, brothers, or friends. Aurangzeb had his father locked in prison. Now, how did this happen? Because none of these things actually happened without cause. Six children of Devaki and Vasudeva were killed. And Kamsa so fearful of being killed by Krishna. Text 68. In his previous birth, Kamsa had been a great demon named Kalanemi and had been killed by Vishnu. What form of Vishnu? I had heard that before, but what form of Vishnu was he killed by? It will become clear in a moment. Do you know? Here. It doesn't say directly, but we can understand who will be by. Upon learning this information from Narada, so he told him, Narada also told Kamsa that previously you were a demon named Kalanemi and you were killed by Vishnu then too. Kamsa became envious of everyone connected with the Yadav dynasty. So in the appendix in this chapter, this is what it explains. Formerly, an asura named Kalanemi had six sons named Hamsa, Savikram, Krata, Damana, Rippur, Mardan, and Krodahanta. They were known as the Sat Garbhas, or six Garbhas, or six embryos. And they were all equally powerful and expert in military affairs. So who is this demon Kalanemi? These Sat Garbhas gave up the association of Hiranyakashipu. So these were grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. So that means Kalanemi, who was Kamsa, was a son of Hiranyakashipu. So who was the one who killed him? It was Lord Nrisingadev. Because Lord Nrisingadev ended up killing so many of the Asuras when he came. So these Sat Garbhas gave up the association of Hiranyakashipu, which is a very dangerous thing to do, their grandfather, and underwent great austerities to satisfy Lord Brahma. So Hiranyakashipu had performed austerities to satisfy Lord Brahma, and he got so many powers, so these Sat Garbhas did the same thing. So do you think Hiranyakashipu was happy? Oh, my grandchildren have done what I have done. They will become powerful. No, Hiranyakashipu wasn't happy at all. When asked by Lord Brahma to state what they wanted, the Sat Garbhas replied, because they were also demonic, "Dear Lord Brahma, if you want to give us a benediction, give us the blessing that we will not be killed by any demigod, Maharoga, Yaksha, Gandharvapati, Siddha, Charna, or any human being, nor by great sages who are perfect in their penance and austerity." So they were really just like their grandfather, weren't they? Brahma understood their purpose and fulfilled their desire. But when Hiranyakashipu came to know of these events, he was very angry at his grandsons. "You have given up my association and you have gone to worship Lord Brahma," he said. "And therefore, because you gave up my association and you have gone to worship Lord Brahma, I have no longer any affection for you. You have tried to save yourself from the hands of the demigods, but I curse you in this way. Your father will take birth as Kamsa and kill all of you because you will take birth as the sons of Devaki." Because of this curse, the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu had to take birth from the womb of Devaki and be killed by Kamsa, although he was previously their father. This description is mentioned in the Harivamsa Vishnupava, second chapter. According to the comments of the Vaishnava Tosini, who is the author of Vaishnava Tosini? Anyone know? Commentary on the Bhagavatam, Sanatana Goswami. The son of Devaki, known as Kirtiman, was the third incarnation. In his first incarnation, he was known as Smara and was the son of Marichi. So and what caused them to take their birth in as the sons of Hiranyakashipu? There was more history beyond that. And later he became the son of Kalanemi. This is mentioned in the Puranas' histories. Very fascinating. Kamsa, the most powerful son of Ugrasena, even imprisoned his own father, the king of the Yadu, Bhoja, and Andaka dynasties, because he thought he was a demigod, and personally ruled the states known as Surasena. Mathura was in Surasena. So that's the end of the first chapter of the 10th canto. We'll begin the second chapter, if Krishna allows. Sukadeva Goswami said, "Under the protection of Maghadaraj," who is that? Maghadaraj? Jarasandha. "The powerful Kamsa began persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. In this he had the cooperation of demons like Pralamba, Baka, Sharora, Trinavarta, Aga, Mustika, Arista, Vidvid, Putana, Keshi, Dhanuka, Banasura, Narakasura, and many other demoniac kings on the surface of the earth. Interesting. Who is this Narakasura? Anyone know?
Yeah.
Bomasura. Bomasura is the daughter of Boma, Bhumi, the daughter of the son of Bhumi. And he was the earth. And when Krishna, in the form of Varaha, lifted the earth with his tusks, as a result of that meeting between the Lord and Bhumi, a child was born. A child of Krishna and Bhumi was this Boma. Bomasura. So how did Bomasura become? How did he become an asura? You know? Yes, that's the only thing I know. Some bad association. Look who his friends were. Look at that company. Banasura, I think it was mostly Banasura. Dhanukasura, Keshi, all these are killed in Krishna Lila. Putanat, Vidvid, almost all are killed in Vrindavan, some in Dwarka Lila, and some in Mathura Lila. Mastika, Chanura, the wrestlers, they're all asuras. So many of these demonic kings, there are so many of these demons that Kamsa allied himself with. This verse supports the following statement given by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita 4, 7, and 8. Dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord's purpose in maintaining this material world is to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But kings and political leaders, unfortunately, try to hinder the purpose of the Lord, and therefore the Lord appears, either personally or with his plenary portions, to set things right. So Kamsa and his friends, they began giving trouble to all the pious Yadu kings. Persecuted by the demoniac kings, the Yadavas, because this was the dynasty in which Krishna was going to take birth, the Yadavas left their own kingdom and entered various others, like those of the Kurus, Panchalas, Kekayas, Salvas, Vidarvas, Nishadas, Videhas, and Koshalas. So they spread out. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kamsa's principles and act in his service. After Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, killed the 6 sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as her 7th child. Who was that?
Balaram.
Balaram, arousing her pleasure by and her lamentation. Why was she pleased and why did she lament? Why was she pleased? Balaram, she was carrying. And why was she lamenting? Kamsa would kill. He was killing. He killed the first 6, so she thought, he'll kill the 7th also. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's 2nd quadruple expansion. That means Shankarshan. Shankarshan, Ananta, all expansions of Balaram. Report. Some of the chief devotees, such as Akura, stayed with Kamsa to satisfy him. This they did for various purposes. They all expected the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as the 8th child as soon as Devaki's other children were killed by Kamsa, and they were eagerly awaiting his appearance. By remaining in Kamsa's association, they would be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead take birth and display his childhood pastimes. And Akura would later go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. The word Paryupasite is significant because it indicates that some devotees wanted to stay near Kamsa in order to see all these pastimes of the Lord. Text 6. Bhagavanapi Vishvatma Viditva Kamsajam Vayam Yadunam Nijanattanam Yogamayam Samadhishat. To protect the Yadus, his personal devotees, from Kamsa's attacks, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishvatma, the Supreme Soul of everyone, ordered Yogamaya as follows. Prabhupada's purport. The word Bhagavanapi Vishvatma Viditva Kamsajambayam are commented upon by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Bhagavan Swayam is Krishna. Krishna is still Bhagavan Swayam. He is Vishvatma, the original super soul of everyone, because his plenary portion expands as the super soul. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Chatragyam Chapimam Vidhi Sava Chatrasu Bharata. And we'll read a little further down. A pure devotee is always fearful of material existence. No one knows what will happen next, for one may have to change his body at any moment. Knowing this fact, a pure devotee acts in such a way that he will not have his life spoiled by being obliged to accept another body and undergo the tribulations of material existence. This is bhayam, or fear. So this is proper bhayam. A devotee is fearless, but this he can fear. Prabhupada once said that the problem with you Western devotees is that you are not afraid of maya. So this type of fear is proper. Bhayam abhinaveshita syat, from the 11th canto. This fear is due to material existence. Properly speaking, everyone should always be alert and fearful of material existence. But although everyone is prone to be affected by the ignorance of material existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always alert to the protection of his devotees. Krishna is so kind and affectionate towards his devotees that he helps them by giving them the intelligence by which to exist in this material world without forgetting him, even for a moment. The Lord says, Tesham evanakampartam maham magyanajam tama nishyamakma babasto gyanadipena vasvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna is dealing with his devotees. So that fear is different that the devotees experience. Is different from the fear that the non-devotees experience. The non-devotees, this bhayam dvitiya vinaveshita syad, means that they see, non-devotees see everything, they see duality. They see Krishna, or God, or they don't see God, but they see the material world as separate from the Supreme Lord. And they see whatever happens, is happening, is separate from Krishna. But the devotees see everything as Krishna's mercy. Nothing is separate. They don't see duality, but they know that Maya tends to put a curtain in front of that vision of seeing Krishna in everything and everywhere. And that is what they fear. So the fear, both fear is there for devotees and non-devotees, but the devotees' fear is forgetting Krishna. They don't want to forget Krishna by Maya's influence. And the non-devotees' fear is because they have forgotten Krishna by Maya's influence. So knowing that Baladev was taking birth, Krishna ordered Yogamaya as follows. O my potency, who are worshipable for the entire world, and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities, go to Braja, where there live many cowherd men and their wives. In that very beautiful land where many cows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudeva, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudeva are also living there incognito, in disguise, because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there. Purport. Short purport. Nanda Gokul, the residence of King Nanda, was itself very beautiful. And when Yogamaya was ordered to go there and encourage the devotees with fearlessness, it became even more beautiful and safe. Because Yogamaya had the ability to create such an atmosphere, the Lord ordered her to go to Nanda Gokul. Krishna continued instructing Yogamaya. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion known as Shankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him to the womb of Rohini. So by the grace of Krishna, Yogamaya was able to transfer Balaram. Read from the second half of Prabhupada's report. A pure devotee is always transcendentally situated because of executing 9 different processes of bhakti yoga. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasyam, sakyam, matma, navedanam. Thus situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world. Yet a devotee fears, because I'm associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. Therefore, he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. So he knows the nature of the material world, that is padam, padam, yad vipadam. It is a dangerous place. So knowing that, he's awake to the danger and therefore he's careful. Symbolically, Mother Devaki, his fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association. And in this way, all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the Sadgavasuras were killed by Kamsa. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has 6 sons: Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, and Matsarja. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir evainam darshyati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti. So Marichi represents the mind, Devaki represents bhakti, and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested. And when he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment, when the 6 sons of Marichi, who are also the 6 sons of Kamsa, also the 6 sons of Devaki and Vasudeva, when the 6 sons of Marichi are killed by such fear of material existence, so that means Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarja, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. When these are killed, one doesn't want to touch, become entangled in material existence, and thereby fears these things. Within the womb of bhakti, they're killed by such fear, and one is freed from material contamination. Within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. So then, Balaram has to come. That is the Dham. When all the lust, anger, greed, etc. are removed from the heart by this process of fearing them, fearing what the effect they have on the consciousness, then the Dham, who is Balaram, appears. That's the Lord Sandini's Shakti. And then, and only then, Krishna appears. Thus the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the six sons, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, and Matsarja kill, the Shesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is also in the language of the Bhagavatam called the Vasudev platform. Free from or Sudasattva, pure spiritual goodness, free from any of the material modes of nature, passion and ignorance and material goodness, which is always contaminated too. So then, after those are removed, then the Vasudev platform can descend, the Sudasattva platform or Balaram. A suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. This is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So Krishna continues speaking to Yogamaya. Oh, all auspicious Yogamaya, after Balaram is transferred, I shall then appear with my full six opulences as the son of Devaki. And you will appear as the daughter of Mother Yasoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. Here also, therefore, Aham Amsa Vagena, the sister, my sister Amsa Vagena, my plenary expansion, my sister. By sacrifices of animals, ordinary human beings will worship you gorgeously, speaking to Yogamaya, Amaya Devi, with various paraphernalia, because you're supreme in fulfilling the material desires of everyone. Of course, devotees don't worship in that way. Lord Krishna blessed Maya Devi by saying, in different places on the surface of the earth, people will give you different names, such as Durga, Bhadrakali, Vijay, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sarada, and Ambika. Prabhupada's purport. Because people are generally interested in material enjoyment, they are interested in worshipping Maya Devi, the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavas, however, are Sudashaktas, or pure bhaktas. Because the Hare Krishna mantra indicates worship of the Supreme Lord's energy, Hara. So the Vaishnavas are actually the Shaktas, because they worship Srimati Radharani, Krishna's Ladini Shakti. A Vaishnava prays to the energy of the Lord for the opportunity to serve the Lord along with his spiritual energy. Thus Vaishnavas all worship such deities as Radha Krishna, Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, and Rukmini Dwarkadish, whereas Durga Shaktis worship the material energy under different names. The son of Rohini will be celebrated as Shankarshan because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Ram because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokul. And he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Prabhupada's purport. These are some of the reasons why Balaram is known as Shankarshan, Balaram, or sometimes Ram. In the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Rama, Hari Hari, people sometimes object when Rama is accepted as Balaram. But although devotees of Lord Rama may object, they should know there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Ram. Here, Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that Balaram is also known as Ram, Ramiti. Therefore, it is not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Ram. Jayadev Goswami also speaks of three Rams, Parsaram, Raghupati Ram, and Balaram. All of them are Ramas. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya immediately agrees to perform these services. With the Vedic mantra Om for agreement, she confirmed that she would do what she was, what he asked. Thus, having accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she circumambulated him and started for the place on earth known as Nandagokul. There she did everything just as she had been told. We'll read just the beginning of Prabhupada's purport to 14. After receiving the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya twice confirmed her acceptance by saying, "Yes, sir, I shall do as you order," and then saying Om. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that Om signifies Vedic confirmation. Thus Yogamaya very faithfully received the Lord's order as a Vedic injunction. When the child of Devaki, Balaram, Shankarshan, Rama, was attracted and transformed into the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage, so everything is leading to Krishna's coming. Thus all the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." I read some of Prabhupada's purport. All the inhabitants of the palace includes Kamsa. When everyone lamented, Kamsa joined in compassion, thinking that perhaps because of drugs or some other external means, Devaki had undergone this abortion. The real story of what happened after Yogamaya attracted the child of Devaki into the womb of Rohini in the seventh month of Rohini's pregnancy is described as follows in the Harivamsa. At midnight, while Rohini was deeply sleeping, she experienced, as if in a dream, that she had undergone a miscarriage. After some time, when she awoke, she saw that this had indeed happened, and she was in great anxiety. But Yogamaya then informed her, "Oh, auspicious lady, your child is now being replaced. I am attracting a child from the womb of Devaki, and therefore your child will be known as Shankarshan." Karshana means attracted. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, entered the mind of Vasudev in full opulence. So he appeared as if the awakening of consciousness. He appeared within the mind of Vasudev. That consciousness of Krishna was awakened, Vasudev. Was awakened in the mind of Vasudev. As if an awakening of consciousness. While carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart, Vasudev bore the Lord's transcendental illuminating effulgence, and thus he became as bright as the sun. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable and unperceivable even for such formidable men such as Kamsa, and not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll read that verse in tomorrow's report. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
You said that when Vishnu kills
Dana,
the
Nagina bridge? Yeah. Where's that from? Sundar was commented to you. No, Vishnu, yeah, when Krishna kills the Nagina bridge. I can't remember which of the Sundar was, probably Bhakti. Any other questions or comments?
Is there any connection between the two descriptions of the sun?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's another story that passed time, but you hear about the sons of Marici that were cursed.
And this was, I think
they're the same people. Does anyone know that story of the sons of Marici?
Yeah,
I can't remember what.
Who?
Huh? I can't.
Do you know it? And they could have said? No curse.
Okay. You know?
So now we're only, sorry, when you are killed by Krishna, and the demons, they are killed by Krishna, are liberated. So those demons were killed by other expansion or incarnation or not. Like say, Hiranyakashipu, he was not liberated then.
He was not liberated then.
Only by Krishna.
That's what Mathura, the great acharyas.
All the demons in Mathura will be liberated.
And all those killed on the battle of Kurukshetra. Also, because they were killed in the presence of Krishna.
Because they are all actually all denizens of the either heavenly planets or spiritual sky.
Who?
All those killed in Kurukshetra are all, no. all from heaven.
I don't know. I don't think they're all from there.
No.
Some of them are demons. They were causing the overburden of the earth. They were heavenly people.
Yes, earlier you mentioned, Prabhu, that the entourage that came with Krishna denizens of heaven. And so, does it mean that most of the people in Vrindavan and Mathura, would they be affected by the most of material nature? Because they came on.
No, they're under the. Those who come, who are engaging in Krishna's Leela.
Only in the Leela.
Yeah. They're influenced by Yoga Maya. They're controlled by Yoga Maya. And those who are demons, who even there are controlled by Mahamaya. Same action. Same controlling, same person ultimately controlling them. But the effect is different. One is sitting in the envy of the living entity, the other is sitting in his love.
The question is, apparently Kamsa must be an exalted soul to have been killed by Krishna, to have been liberated.
But there's no disciplic succession in case you are considering getting initiated in that sampradaya.
I mean, to be in that position, he must have been designed to be there.
Exalted persons, but demonic, very powerful. Yeah. They have a demonic type of piety. These powerful persons.
Because he served the purpose of the Rila. They came in for the
But that doesn't mean that he came in willingly with love for Krishna to serve the purpose of the Leela. He's a demon. Or there's some curse. But ultimately you can say it's Krishna's desire. Or at least his sanction. Maybe we should find out that story of Marici. I don't know what it is.
The children were kissed by the family.
Where is that?
One of the fifth books.
Where?
The mystery.
That we just read? Yes.
That section.
But it doesn't tell any more of that.
Yes.
But that story is, I've heard it. But I can't remember where I read it. Okay, let's stop now though. It's already late.
One more question, bro.
Yes.
Why was Krishna's effulgent when the report was the purpose of it? So he become effulgent and all that. Maybe there was some other thing, nothing much mentioned about Vasudeva. What was the purpose of his, the consciousness of Krishna entering him and all that?
Krishna entered him?
Yeah.
Krishna, not the consciousness of Krishna.
Krishna.
But it was like an awakening of consciousness.
Uh-huh.
Exactly what they mean by that, the acharyas, I couldn't exactly say to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But like sometimes you become awakened in consciousness. It's like the difference between sleep and being awake.
It is quite a kind of, it's just,
so in other words, on Devaki also, when there's a happiness.
This our mercy is
because unhappiness is caused by ignorance, dullness. But when the consciousness is high and subtle and fine and awake, then it's wonderful.
Is this entering into him is different from the ordinary mercy that is shown by Krishna to the devotees, or to the non-devotees initially? It's different.
To the non-devotees? What do you mean? He was so pious and pure. He was like the Vasudeva platform that Vasudeva, the Lord, enters in. He was pure. So Krishna entered within him personally and he became so effulgent.
Oh, just out of purity.
He was very pure, of course, but he had, later it will come out what he had done. This was his desire in previous births to have Krishna as his son.
Oh.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Krishna ki jai, Sri